Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and I'm here today with my guest, Andy Huang. How are you, Andy?
Hi, Oliver. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on the show. Can you share a bit about yourself and what you do for the listeners?
Sure. My name's Andy Huang, and I run a company called Beyond Blocks. I teach primarily primary school children to program by building Lego models, which they add computers and sensors and motors to, and then they bring those alive by learning to program in simple, sort of straightforward block coding languages or Scratch, or they can go further and program those in Python or Java. So really it's introducing children to programming, and along the way hopefully building them up, building up their resilience, team working, engineering skills as well.
Oh, cool. That sounds really interesting. And yeah, for everybody, if people are listening to the podcast, they're probably familiar with the fact that I've named the podcast Beyond Blocks. And then Andy sort of reached out and said, "Hey, I run a company called Beyond Blocks." So we got talking via email and thought we'd have a discussion and record a podcast episode from it. So
Makes sense.
yeah, quite an interesting one. Quite an interesting approach, given that some of the other people I've had on the show have been people I sort of know from the community or know through sort of Twitch streams or whatever. So this one's a little bit different. But given I've been doing some work with boot camps again recently, and I do some coaching and teaching and things, that would be an interesting overlap with Beyond Blocks. So.
Definitely. And I'm definitely interested to find out a little bit more about this current state of Drupal, because I messed around with Drupal back when I was learning open source a few years ago, but I haven't really touched it since. So it'll be quite nice to check in with you, Oliver.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I can't remember how exactly I came up with Beyond Blocks as a name, but I was trying to think of something that was quite a bit Drupal related, and blocks being one of the sort of the main Drupal concepts of adding components to pages, and we've got block layouts and layout builder and other things using blocks. But I didn't want to think of something that was too specific, and want something that would maybe appeal to a slightly wider audience. And so Beyond Blocks was quite a nice sort of thing. So it ties to Drupal in that way that it mentions blocks, but opens up the door to having beyond that and onto something else. And we start talking about things like DevOps and other sorts of subjects. So that's how I sort of came up with it. But yeah, I can't remember finding anything else at the time. But you said there's obviously a couple of other people with sort of the same name or similar names doing different things. But wonder if it
Yeah,
was something to
the
do with.
other Beyond Blocks I found was a cryptocurrency conference that happened a few years ago in Singapore, and I reached out to them as well, but didn't hear anything back. So, but I love the idea of going beyond blocks. I mean, in your case, you start off by saying, "Look, this is the core of what we do." And obviously, for me, the name came from the idea of starting off with Lego bricks, which a lot of people know as blocks. And so when I initially opened the company, I thought, wouldn't it be really cool to get children to think a bit further than the instructions and the blocks that they're given? And then just to go and start mining their own imagination and go beyond what's in the instructions. But then actually it plays quite well with other parts of of what we do. So because we start off with block programming, as I mentioned, and we move on to programming with Scratch, which isn't just iconic blocks, but blocks that have words on them. And then finally, we go right beyond those blocks completely to programming in Python. And it's quite lovely to see the evolution of children from coming in going, "Oh, we want to start, we're only here because we want to put bricks together." And then by the end of it, they're like, "Right, we're going to go into full-scale competition, programming in Python, getting our robots to move from one place to another and solve some really complex stuff." But there's a third reason as well that we I chose the name to sort of symbolize getting people beyond the blocks that they have mentally as well. So
Okay.
you kind of you look at especially when you bring Lego into play with adults, and these blocks go straight up, and they're like, No, we don't play with Lego." But once they start playing with Lego, they go, "Oh, actually, this isn't so bad. We can do this. We can express ourselves using this medium." And that's, for me, I'm just really happy that the word blocks has so many meanings.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in that sort of almost agile Scrum-based context of literally having blocks and blockers to, doing things. But that's and yeah, mental blocks for, as you said, adults playing with Lego or something. That's yeah, a very interesting thing. I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, you can always reverse engineer the name a little bit, Oliver, and
True.
give a back explanation, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting subject. So I've got two children, and they're sort of young teenager sort of stage. So they've gone through, the sort of early stages of sort of primary school education and starting to move up into the higher levels now. But they were starting to look at programming and other things as part of their curriculum when they were slightly younger. So I can see how some of the things that you were talking about would be quite applicable. Having gone through some of these things and trying some things, I know we were using Scratch and some other things in that as well, which I found really interesting as somebody who sort of does coding and development things for a living.
I'm really interested in your point of view on that, actually, because I think a lot of children look at programmers and they go, "Nope, can't do it. It's just sitting, in a darkened basement, loads of lines of code, and just banging it out. And lack of, we need to be lacking social skills here and completely into the, into the kind of just into the code." And they don't necessarily see the fun parts, the problem solving bits, and so, from a total beginner's point of view, sometimes it can seem a bit inaccessible. How do you see something like Drupal overcoming these sort of blocks for children?
That's an interesting question. I think I was looking when we were doing things with Scratch, I think primarily they were looking at building little games and things and moving a little character around a screen. And I think one of my kids did one, they were like, dinosaur or something, and the background was moving. They was jumping over these things, and we bought a book at a maybe like science museum or something. Actually, maybe in the UK, in London, we were there, and had these tutorials of different things that you could build. So I think for them at that age, they were just wanting to sort of see how these things sort of work and how, things they can do to make things change on the screen. Like they weren't too worried about CMSs and frameworks and everything at that stage, but they were like, oh, if I press this space bar, it makes my dinosaur jump up in the air and things like that. I thought that was really interesting, because they can sort of see then how by doing A, B happens. And I think that's a really good sort of fundamental thing. Later on, they were using other things that sort of more resemble object-oriented programming, that they would then have like, it was on, I can't remember what the name of it was, but they were having to make sort of characters move, and they were actually sort of saying like dinosaur dot move, and then having to pass through variables and things to it. And they were sort of saying, oh, well, if I put six in there, it moves six things, six steps rather than 10 steps, 100 steps. So you could see how, without knowing it, they were learning sort of programming fundamentals by writing functions and variables and other things like that, as part of this, to achieve something that to them is fun, and they're not thinking of it as, well, I'm learning how to program or how to write in this language or this framework. But then later on, I was sat there doing something in a Fractal, which is a design component tool, library tool that I use quite a lot. So you type something in it, and then it auto refreshes and regenerates. So I was building some buttons or something at the time, and one of my sons was sat next to me, and I was like, "Oh, I try to make this thing red," and then I said, "It's not working." He goes, "Oh, I'll help you with this, right?" He comes over and starts, and then he's like, because it was green or something beforehand, right? And he goes, "Well, what if we change that word green to red?" And he did it, and it auto reloaded. He went, he could see his eyes lighting up at that point.
Brilliant.
And I was like, oh, I want to make the wording a bit bigger. Like, oh, of course I know how to do this, right? I'm just trying to give him scenarios of things to do. He's like, well, what if I change that 20 to a 25 or to a 30? And again, you can see then it refreshed and it made a bit. So for him, like, that's what he wanted to do. And he was not, worried about sort of particular frameworks or language at that point. They're just trying to learn how things work, and how to sort of get the results visually that they want. We did do a really small page from, I think, from my other son when he was a lot younger, of just with his name at the top and a photo with some bullet points that were just like, I like this, I like this, I don't do that, I do that. Just literally a thing. And he built that with just some HTML and some Tailwind CSS classes. So you can just do BG dash green or whatever it was, and you can see that. We didn't have to really teach him how CSS worked particularly, but he was able to do that. And we were able to upload that to a just to a Netlify server, I think, because it's just HTML. But when he gets to that point of, well, now I want to edit this or add more pages and things to it, that's probably where something like a CMS, like Drupal or WordPress or something, would be quite useful for him. Like, now we've built a page, how do we make that more dynamic? So it's more of a progression to maybe to something like that, I think.
There's definitely a leap, I think, between learning those basics, the core things like, BG background color and the sort of font sizing and stuff. Then there's this, from my experience of having learned HTML and then discovering WordPress for me, it was mind-blowing. Oh wow, I don't have to write HTML head body. Like that's all done. I can just handle the content of this stuff. To find content management systems that you could just do, you could just take them for free and put them on your server. I remember the delight of going, wow, I can make my own blog. I can make my own learning management system with Moodle. Recently, I just put in Snipe IT for asset inventory management, and that was completely free. But all the code's been done by other people. And a while ago, I took part in. I put together a little group of people who in Vietnam we translated the interface for Scratch. And just to know that these projects are there, where loads of people can get involved in, and there's so many parts of an open source project that children can get involved with. So I'd imagine it's the same with Drupal, that there's translation going on in the back, there's testing, there's development, but it's not all development. And actually, I think it would be so great to be able to see open source software on the curriculum, but it's not. When you look on the curriculum, yes, they teach you things like how to, how to write in HTML, how to program in Scratch. But actually, I think a large number of programmers actually probably spend a lot of time in the back end of CMSs. What do you think? Or is there any work from the open source community to try to get into schools and try to influence the direction of education in so that kids can be getting hands-on with CMSs early? And would that be a good thing?
It's a really interesting question. I know we've talked about it, particularly around how do we market Drupal within the UK. We've mentioned things about schools and universities, and the things that I've got a graduate, we've got my team who's done some elements of Drupal as part of their course, which is quite interesting, but it's not really that in depth. I mean, they're able to sort of do an install and change some themes and add some content to it, but it's a good foundation because they were doing that across multiple other things. My background, I guess, was I was doing IT job and doing desktop support, and then got asked to build a website for a Taekwondo school that I was training at the time, and one of my kids trains at now, funny enough. And this is how I got involved with web, because I was in that IT area anyway, and was building these pages from scratch, like you said, with just writing HTML and head tags and everything.
Yes.
And I then was like, okay, I started learning PHP, and then I was doing it all from video tutorials and online courses. This was 2007, 2008, I think. Then 2008 is when my Drupal account got started, because I was there asking somebody, well, I've written this PHP code that I took from a course and adapted, so it works for pages. Now I want to make it work for news articles or something to that effect. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. And I've still got a screenshot of the post, and someone said, "Well, what about using a content management system? This website uses Drupal, so I'd recommend looking at that." That's how I got into it. But yeah, that's really so quite similar. I realized I didn't have to write all these things from scratch myself, and there were systems out there I could leverage and use. That's not to say having a n knowledge of the fundamentals and obviously knowing what it's building obviously is going to help. And I feel that same way about tools now that are a bit too opinionated. That's another discussion. But yeah, it's still good to understand what they're doing under the hood. But
Yeah, agreed.
yeah, I think school's an interesting one. I sort of started to think about like, could I get my kids involved with doing some projects for schools or sort of local charity? Obviously, Code Club is one that gets mentioned a lot. But I don't know if that's quite. I think that's for more. Is that I think that's for kids of sort of 7 to 11 or something. It seems a bit younger from where my kids are now, but could be potentially quite interesting. But I'm also wondering how we could get it involved in more with boot camps, as I know a lot of people coming through boot camps at the moment, and the technology stack that they use tends to vary. The one I used to mentor on, which isn't running anymore, was doing PHP back end. I think they were doing Drupal 8 on the back end, and then some maybe React on the front end, I think, if I remember rightly. Whereas the one I'm working with now is purely JavaScript. I imagine for reasons like it's easier to take them from nothing to 16 weeks just in one language. But then interestingly, somebody who I wasn't their mentor on the course, but I've sort of spoken to them a few times since, is doing a trial at a Drupal company for the next couple of weeks. So he's been learning on his own beforehand, and was a little bit of my help input. And his first thing was, so I don't need to build a login system from scratch. And they were like, no, that's there, that's out of the box already. And he's like, oh, well, we would have done all this by hand, in as part of the boot camp. So maybe again, there is a way to leverage what's already there, and not to say that not having a grasp of the fundamentals isn't important, but do they need to be writing like a login system from scratch, or should they be using Drupal or WordPress or something else to sort of fill that gap, maybe?
I'm working in the sector that I work in, children's activity sector. A lot of people look around for a web developer to build them a website. I'm quite lucky in that I just know how to do it, but I only know how to do it using CMS because, same as you, Oliver, I just started building. And I guess that when you are faced with a project like the Taekwondo Club. And in my case, I was a teacher, and I just needed to be able to share my teaching resources with my classes, and I wanted to be able to get them to submit their homework back to me. So, while I was teaching, I just learned about Moodle, figured, oh, I can stick this on my own server, and look at that. It handles the user accounts, it handles logins, and these are things that are really fundamental. So, you started off by mentioning that the fundamentals are things like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, but actually then there's another layer of fundamentals on top of that of, yeah, you need to create user accounts, you need to do you need to have uploading and downloading of stuff. Well, actually they're fundamental too. So you kind of I feel to some extent you could say, well, actually, at school, we only teach you the fundamentals. So you can go out and then you can build the next bit. But actually, I think, well, yeah, you have taught us the fundamentals, but there's more that you haven't taught. And actually, we could to some extent say, okay, you understand HTML, but you actually need to get started on your business now. So to get started really easily on your business, you could skip all of these other things because somebody's built them already and you're. Forte is probably not building login systems. So it's probably at some point, it's like there must come a point where you say, right, we need to introduce you to CMSs. And I wonder, because you mentioned that CMSs might be, I don't know, a little bit your kids might be too young for them, but you also mentioned that the fundamentals, they might be too old for that. So is there an ideal age, do you think, where you can start teaching children how to use CMSs?
I don't know if there's a particularly as exact age, but I do feel like if you just think back to the page that I built for before with just like, a bullet list of, I like this, I do that. And like we could, if I gave him a tool, let's say whether it's a CMS, whether it's Drupal or WordPress or whatever, if I just gave him that and said, this is how you log into it, and this is how you edit this page, and this is how you add new pages, then like I think also as well, kids these days are a lot more sort of tech savvy than when I was in school anyway. Like, the kids are always there, like they both sat there the other day with their phones, and they're trying to install, what they try to do on the weekend, like install Minecraft or something. They can play each other over different things. They're sat in the same house, but for some reason they want to play multiplayer online with each other, Minecraft or whatever it was. So I feel like they're a lot more tech sort of savvy in that regard these days. So I'm sure if I just gave him a CMS and said, look, this is how you log into it, this is how you edit these pages, like by the end of the day, you'd probably think of 20 pages you could add or you could create. And maybe there's, I mean, that's less again, like, does he need to know whether it's Drupal or WordPress, something that's doing that? Or does he just need to know if this is the button that I click to do that? And maybe then there's still the same thing around, like, oh, well, if you want to then add, if I'm thinking about just page by page basis, there could be an example where maybe he wants to add, I don't know, I was going to say some news articles, some other thing that he wants to add. Like we could then take that step by step. And be like, well, now we could introduce more to specific concepts like different content types or views or something. But just again, like this is how you add pages to it. Otherwise, it's going to be like now you need to duplicate this other page that we built and we ignore the rest of it because it's the same. But you just want to change this little bit in the middle. That's where your content is. If we can make that editable through some sort of CMS, like I'm sure that you they'd be happy doing that or be able to do that. Yeah, I sort of see it being the same, whether it's kids, whether it's boot camps, or whether it's just even junior developers starting off, regardless of their age or anything. It's still that set of fundamentals that you need to go through. And I do wonder whether it's again when I started, like there's a slide that Jeffrey Way gave at Laracon 1 year I was watching this talk. And he said, like, when I started doing web development, there was HTML and CSS and jQuery. I think there's like a really small, short slide with about five things on it. And then now he's like, now you need to learn HTML, CSS, Docker, JavaScript, Vue, React. Like, there's a, they're going through about five slides of just these different things that you need to learn. So I'm also wondering, like, is just web became more complex in general with all these other technologies around it. So, and you couldn't just say to a child or something like, here's, or a junior developer or anybody, like, here's all the things you need to learn. There's need to be some element of this is where we start and then build up from there.
I guess that that when you're learning Drupal, you don't necessarily have to be a developer, and that's part of the benefit, I guess. Like you could jump in as a designer, or just a content creator, and get started without needing a developer. So actually, I guess that when you're mentioning about your son being able to create pages and just be able to then make news or design a portfolio, but having that additional understanding that the way that a portfolio page needs to present itself is slightly different from the way that a blog post needs to present itself, for example, a shop page, these categorizing and making sure that the post types are different in each case. Even I think being able to use a CMS from the point of just an admin user rather than full developer definitely has some benefit to it. And, learning about admining a system when you're young, it still gives you a massive advantage over not knowing. And I do think, we do need to be a little bit careful about when we're looking at bringing these things into school, that we actually understand that it can be taught at completely different levels for people who actually might not have an interest in development, but can still make some use of it. I mean, in my particular realm, I teach children how to program using Lego, but actually a lot of the time, I don't necessarily want them to go off and become, the greatest programmer. I just want them to be able to solve problems. So more important than let's make sure that you can program and you understand what a class and a subroutine and whatever is. More important is, can you see that the robot, for example, keeps on falling over to the left? And if he keeps on falling over to the left, why does he fall over to the left? So it's about really looking at a problem and saying, firstly, there is a problem, and then why is it, why is he falling over to the left? Oh, he's a little bit overbalanced, isn't he? Like, he's only standing on one leg, and then his left side is a little bit heavier than his right side. And then if they can then say, right, I've identified a problem, I've identified the cause of the problem, and I can solve it, then we can rinse and repeat that over and over again. So, and whether they come out as a programmer or just somebody who's really good at spotting a problem and solving it, for me, it's more important. The latter is way more important than the concept that they have to come out as a programmer. And that's why, for me, Lego is a really, really good medium for saying, why don't we solve some problems? These problems, they're based in reality. They all follow physical rules. And you all live in the physical world. So if you can solve these problems, you can actually apply it to something else too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think solving the problem and like trying to identify the problem you're trying to solve, that's a question I ask a lot. What is the problem we're trying to solve? And then what's the best way of doing that? And then maybe it's a, oh, we can fix that using Drupal or WordPress, or we'll build some static pages, or we'll do that, like trying to find the tool to solve the problem and not necessarily fit the problem into the tool is also a really good skill to have. But yeah, being able to identify that problem first of all, whether it is something on a website not working or a robot falling over, I think is yeah a really really good skill. And yeah, Lego's really is really an interesting one. I've seen my kid recently was building a has bought like a little kit or something. You can build a little robot and do something, or he's got a little ball with a robot and he can control on his phone or whatever it is. I think those sorts of things are really interesting. And I know there's some element of programmability. It's probably making up new words now, but something that you can do and change a color or do something. I think it's having something that's a starting point to then sort of get them on the hook. Sounds like the wrong phrase, but something to get them in and then that they can then expand and customize and turn it into then personalizing it into their thing that they use themselves, whether it is a Lego robot or a CMS or something, is a big advantage, I think.
Well, I think, I'm going to pull you up on the getting them on the hook thing, but you're absolutely right. I think that Lego is a great way to get children interested in whatever it is that you want to get them interested in. And in my case, luckily, I have robotic Lego. I've got Lego that you can add computers to, and children are interested in Lego. By and large, a lot of children are interested in Lego in one form or another. So when you can then add a computer, you can add motors and sensors. Then they go, wait a minute, so my Lego gets even better than normal Lego. Like, yeah, definitely it does. I've got a little I've got a model here. I'm not going to switch it on, unfortunately. I could do, but yeah, it's a woodpecker, and the idea is that when you put different bricks into this chute here, different colored bricks, the little woodpecker will wake up, and you've got a color sensor over here. And he picks up what color it is from the color sensor, and he says, "Oh, I've got a red brick, so I'm going to stick my red brick over here in the red brick compartment. I've got a yellow brick that I've spotted using the color sensor, so I'm going to turn 220 degrees and put it in the yellow compartment." And so it's a really
That's cool.
great sort of it's a really great example of just computational thinking, where a child needs to look at it and say, "Okay, we've got a problem here. We've got a bunch of different bricks, and they need to go into different compartments. So they then need to take the whole the whole problem and break it down into, okay, how does it pick up the brick? How does it identify what color the brick is? And then what is the resulting, action? And so problem solving in this respect is the computational thinking method of doing that, of looking at it, decomposing the problem, building it back up, writing an algorithm. It's just perfectly done in Lego. And those the blocks that they need to go through to in order to get to a solution, they're just exactly the same as you would for anything else.
Yeah, that's quite a complex model you got there. So I was thinking of like little cars or something that you were then programming. But yeah, that's like a full, sort of quite complex model that you've got there. And I do like that thing of, yeah, different color bricks and things. I hadn't thought about something like that. So
Oh,
that's
there's another one
really
that I
interesting.
had that solves an entire Rubik's cube. So you flip it down, stick it
All right.
onto the plate. It spins it around, reads the colors on all the things, and then goes ahead and solves the entire Rubik's cube. But again, that's just about breaking a problem down and saying, okay, how do we know what colors are on each section? How do we flip it over? And then how do we manipulate it? And then what do we need to do all of those things in order to solve a Rubik's cube? So it's just about breaking it down, really. And just, some kids will get to the point where they're solving Rubik's cubes and working out the algorithms for that. And some will just get to the point where they say, I've just had a lot of fun getting this robot to walk across the room without it falling over. And that's really important that, you kind of read the room and realize, actually, we don't want all the kids to be really amazing programmers. But we do want them to be able to solve problems. And actually, if they can solve problems, that's fine. And I guess that's the same with Drupal, that, I'd love to see the next sort of generation of Drupal admins, Drupal graphic designers coming along and having exposure to Drupal at a young age. And so, I mean, I've been thinking that in schools, you go into schools and there's iPads in schools, there's Google Chromebooks in schools, Microsoft are in schools. But and so, a lot of kids know how to use iPads, they know how to use Gmail, and they know that you've got all these companies have got a massive advantage, but then you have to buy their products. I just wish that that Drupal, WordPress, just the concept of being able to install an open source script, I wish that could come in a little bit earlier, because if I'd known that 5, 10 years before I started my business, I would have been way out ahead.
Yeah, I suppose what's quite interesting now is especially since COVID pandemic, like because the Google Classroom I think was the main one, or Blackboard, or there were a couple I think, but everything had to go online then as well. So then everybody's having to upload homework assignments, and kids have then got to do their homework and scan it or do pictures and then upload it again. So that thing you talked about earlier on, but just like, oh, if I could do that with Moodle myself or whatever, yeah, that's great. But yeah, there definitely are. Like that's probably more the norm again now because of the way things have sort of changed a little bit over the last couple of years. But yeah, it's interesting how things like open source technologies can come in and act as not just viable alternatives, but arguably better alternatives in some ways. It doesn't need to be always be the big companies or anything in that way. And see a lot with Drupal as an open source thing, but something I've been getting more involved with recently is a thing called Local Gov Drupal, which is a distribution, so a pre-built version of Drupal for local councils. So my local council recently switched to it, which was quite interesting. So it's been something I've been looking to get into for a while and start contributing to. So it's now used on 44 UK and Ireland councils. So just yeah, this pre-packaged version, rather than everybody having to to build the same. Oh, I was gonna say news page was a silly example, but again, as they can leverage sort of the pre-built one as part of a distribution, and save time and money. But yeah, if there's something we could do like with that for, yeah, maybe not just for schools, but maybe there's probably something there that could be done. Or yeah, I mean, it could be really interesting to see like how these things could be, like say like a Moodle. Like I know I've done integrations with Moodle before, but I've also worked with other sort of like purely Drupal-based learning management systems as well. And sometimes I think people don't necessarily look at open source as being a viable option for whatever reason. I don't really know why, but it would be interesting to try and find out maybe why and possible change that.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, my before setting up Beyond Blocks, I worked mainly in universities and out in corporates, installing Moodle installations and getting them working. And during the pandemic, I actually ended up working in a school, and I assumed that the open source philosophy, the idea of, yeah, we can use an open source product and we can host it ourselves, and we'll get a little bit of support, no worries, but we'll just we start off on the basis of open source, and we make a big saving. That I thought that this would come straight into primary, but as soon as as COVID hit, they looked to spend their money with someone, and the schools, all the schools were saying, "Well, we don't really have any clue what to install here," and they were looking to Google, and Google came along with Google Classroom and said, "Here, have that." But it's a bit of a devil's bargain. You're signing up with Google, and obviously you've got the whole of the sort of Google the sort of Google Education Suite to go along with that. But that's you've already made that deal with them that, okay, we're going to put in your email, your Google Drive, and we're going to be tied to you forever. And it was a great move on Google's part to go out and really push Classroom in the middle of the pandemic. But I just wish that more schools and more organizations could take a more balanced approach in the way that they said, well, okay, look, we've got open source does exist out there, and these are the sort of companies that can support us to install them. So I love the idea of some sort of pre-packaged, here you go, Drupal, ready to go. Border councils, we've used it over here, and we can use it on yours as well. And you can harness the savings of free and open source software. I'd love to see that more. What worries me right now is that all the big guns are pointing their weapons at the at schools and saying, Apple are going in, Google are going in, Microsoft are going in, but they're edging out any other alternative. So kids aren't seeing free and open source software. Their websites aren't built, to showcase free and open source software. They're, in schools, they're just not teaching it because, well, the philosophy of free and open source software just isn't there. And so they're still learning on proprietary stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that I said. Did a little bit of higher education for myself, but interesting then, as I say, just working with a graduate at the moment. Yeah, I think the same thinking. While I was looking to doing more higher ed for me, was then the syllabus tends to be either sort of wrong or out of date. And by that I mean, when I looked at doing it, I was already doing PHP and MySQL, MariaDB, so the very sort of open source web focused stack. And when I looked at doing some more sort of qualifications in that area, it was all really Java and Microsoft based technologies and not quite the thing that I wanted to do. It didn't align with what I was already doing. And then when I did find something that was sort of similar, I found I was already probably a year into the job at that point. And this was sort of an evening class, if I remember rightly. And yeah, it was like, I think we did vanilla JavaScript, and then we did CSS, and then we did HTML. If I'm probably misremembering, something was done in the wrong sort of order for me. And even when I was looking at it, going, this isn't really anything relevant to the way that I'm doing things in my job, even though I'm, less than a year in, but these things aren't matching up for me. So I suppose there's always that question, if from the sort of lecturer, teacher, trainer perspective, how do they keep up to date with the things that they're trying to teach? Particularly, I'm seeing with Drupal 8 was released in 2015, I think. And then things like boosting Drupal 8, Drupal 9, 10, and then 11 is coming out, I think, next year or later this year. We're always seeing changes and new features being added and things like how do people keep up to date with that to make sure that you're teaching things that are still so relevant? That's a whole challenge I feel like on its own.
Yeah, maybe the question of the education system is not really where open source learning thrives. And you mentioned it yourself, you know, once you're in education, you've removed yourself from actually using this stuff on a day-to-day basis, in any kind of meaningful way, unless you're doing it as a hobby. You know, when I was in education, I was doing it as a kind of hobby that was supporting what I did in class. But then to actually teach people how do you use open source software, you need to be, well, using open source software. Maybe open source learning needs to take a completely different it needs to take a completely different tack. I mean, me and you both learned open source software by, well, using open source software to build a project. You know, you're a taekwondo guy, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. I've never built jiu-jitsu websites, but you know, I built stuff for myself, for my hobbies, and it's only through that I said, oh, how do you unpick this stuff? So I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to see the community, the open source community, being really welcoming to younger people, who are, and you know, and making those ways where young people can say, oh, I just want to experiment. You know, maybe make a website on whatever it was your children are interested in. My daughter's really crazy about birds. So, you know, if she was to start developing a website in Drupal, you know, in, well, if she wanted to start developing a website, I'd love for there to be a set of resources for her to say, well, actually, Drupal is an option. You know, we can jump onto a website and they'll provide me with a Drupal and I can learn how to use Drupal as a result of building my own interests. And that would be really interesting for me to see, some way of, like, you know, other people learning what we learned, but not necessarily, in the way that we did it, and not necessarily in a school, but through discovery. But I'd love it to be available for them to just get hold of.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think there's definitely things that are there that could be used. I need to look into it more, but I recently saw that Typo3 and Drupal and Joomla and WordPress are now in this Open Website Alliance thing, which I think is quite interesting. That's like a leadership level collaborative venture. So I think that's really interesting to sort of see what happens. What happens with that? And I'm aware of the what's the other thing that I mean? The open source oh, I can't remember what it's called now. Initiative Alliance. There's something else that I'm in as well, just related to open source. So I think that there's that, but I think there's also like the complete other side to it as well, not even related to web. But I was thinking about I think it was Adam Wadden who sort of said that he was got into open source because he was using some audio editing software that he was like, oh, I can mod this, so I can change it myself. Or like now I play an online game called Zero AD, which is very sort of Age of Empires based thing, but it's free and open source, so anybody can go in and contribute to it and can create mods through it. So I'm sure that there's not just the web platform CMS side, there's a whole other potential avenue of contributing or getting involved, or like you said earlier about translations for things. And somebody I was a mentor of on a boot camp was working in that environment, adding in translations to a video game, and they then decided to move more into the actual development side. But there are, I feel like there's other ways of doing that or contributing in the sort of ecosystem with like things like events management or other things as well. Like we've got a Drupal initiative called Splash Awards, where people will, you know, they'll do like awards every year. I think Nicholas Frank and I spoke about that on an early episode. So there's lots of other sort of ways to contribute, even if you're not a sort of coder or a developer. I think it's definitely, it's just making people aware and that this is an option that they could be using. And it sort of comes back to what's the best way of doing that through, you know, whether that is initiatives like Code Club or get into the actual school syllabus or something as well. But I think it's definitely something we could continue to think about at various levels, I think.
Well, if you ever, you know, I'm really sort of up for anything that involves getting children skilled up in modern technologies. So, and thanks for pointing out the Open Website Alliance. I've not heard of it before, so I'll go check it out after this call. But it looks like there's really good things happening out there. I like what the Open Web Alliance is talking about, like the their purpose to advocate for open source software over proprietary systems. That's entirely what I was talking about. I'd love for children to think about open source software before they think about proprietary systems. I'd love for schools and local government to be thinking of open source software before proprietary systems. And it's just, yeah, it's as you say, it's happening. It's just about getting it out there, but also in terms of schools, making sure that they have the confidence to take up open source software, the support, and to some extent, just the templates so it's easy for them to do. So I'm really excited about the future on that one, Oliver.
Yeah, definitely. The other one I should think of is the Open Source Initiative, which is opensource.org. It's the one with the green logo in it. I could see the logo. I just couldn't remember what the initials were. So I found that one as well. But yeah, I think it's definitely something that's going to be worth looking into. And I don't think there's going to be an easy answer because there's always some, like you mentioned, but if schools, for example, are already using Google for their email and for other things, and the logical answer might be to continue and to use Google Classroom, for example, whereas another organization or a different group may be looking at things from more of a starting perspective, and they can be a bit more open to different options. It's just making sure that, yeah, ideally, I think maybe for those of us inside, and so you can see the benefits of open source, but maybe people aren't sort of aware of those things, or maybe that there's some element of comfort, I guess, in that we'll pay money to Google or Microsoft to do this support, whereas even though it's going to cost that extra money compared to something like an open source, whether it's Drupal, and we also got the Drupal Association, and then Acquia, the main sort of, but that's nice about open source. It doesn't need to be one big company behind it. It can be multiple companies, or there's so many people doing Drupal development and WordPress development, like from like big giant companies to like small soloists and freelancers. So that's, for me anyway, in my mind, an obvious benefit rather than having some sort of vendor lock in to a really large company. And I think this is why we're maybe starting to see people moving into some of these initiatives like local gov. Because yeah, it's if you're into a situation where you've only got one option as a vendor, because maybe it's their own CMS or any also being particularly niche, compared to then using like a Drupal or WordPress, where you've got X number of options, then that's it's good from their perspective to have that choice, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's, I guess, like you say, there is a certain level of comfort that comes from having always done it. And schools tend to go for the thing that they've always done for, forever. And so that's going to take a big sort of mindset shift. But it's great to see, things like the Open Source Initiative, Open Website Alliance coming along and really championing the use of open source in businesses. So yeah, I'd love to see more from them.
Yeah, the other thing I think I saw recently is about was it Germany, or was it a city in Germany who was switching everything to Linux? I remember like that was the other thing that was going on. I think I saw that again recently. So
Yeah,
you
I saw
so.
that. I saw that one come up in the news. So it's last time it went really badly because all the systems just weren't quite ready yet. But I believe that there's so much great open source stuff out there. It's perfectly possible to run, well, at least to run a small business like mine, using entirely open source, which is, which is what I do.
Yeah,
But maybe
likewise.
not so much for the bigger ones.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, I've got a laptop that's running Linux or NixOS, and all my development work is done on Drupal and open source technologies as much as possible in different places. I'll tend to always sort of look at the open source option if there is one personally. But yeah, I'm very much in favor of utilizing open source, but also contributing back either code literature I can, or through donations to things like OSI or the PHP Foundation as well, to try help move the actual language itself forward. I think if we're building a business on free software, then being able to contribute back is also very important, and not just just use it and make money from it, but to make sure we're giving some of that back as well, which is why if I'm doing any Drupal work, I donate a percentage of that back to the Drupal Association to supporting the project and the DA in themselves. So hopefully I'd like to see more people do as well.
Superb. Thanks for the reminder, Ollie.
Cool. It's been a really interesting conversation. I thought we could carry on talking about open source and education and things for a long time. But I think we need to wrap this one up. So if people want to get in touch with you, Andy, later on and find out more about what you're doing with Lego blocks and robotics and difficult ways, where's the best place for them to do that?
So, I have a website at www.beyondblocks.co.uk, but I'm really active on Facebook. Just check out Beyond Blocks UK on there.
That'd be great. I'll definitely go in and do that later on. And it's been, thanks for joining me. It's been a really good conversation. I do feel we could keep on talking about
Yeah,
this for a
for sure.
while. I'm sure maybe we will again at some point. And but it's been great. Thank you for reaching out and suggesting we had a conversation. It's been great. So thank you very much.
Been great fun for me as well, and yeah, it's not often that I get to talk about open source. I'm mainly talking about Lego, so it's been a real pleasure for me too. Thank you very much.
Great. And thanks everybody for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis.
And I've been Andy Quinn.